Welcome back with Murphy Mac to another episode of the Fitness Beginner Podcast, where we help you get started on your fitness journey. What's up, folks? Hope everybody is having a great day. I don't know why, but I just got a random just burst of energy. I guess because I know it's time to get on the podcast and spread some value to y'all, which I enjoy doing. And I just want to take a moment, a little moment of gratitude right here. This will be episode 90, the big 90. So we're almost to 100. We're 10 episodes away from 100. That seems crazy to me that I almost have 100 podcast episodes. I started this, I guess, almost 2 years ago now. So I just think it's pretty cool that I'm still doing it. Honestly, I didn't have no expectations when I first started the podcast. I didn't know where it would take me. And honestly, for being honest, it hasn't really taken me anywhere. But it has given me some cool opportunities. It's taught me a lot. And I've gotten to where I enjoy doing it. I enjoy getting on here, talking to y'all, even though I'm just talking to a computer or a camera. But I like doing it. It's fun. I see myself continuing to do it in the future. But I just want to give a big shout out to all the listeners. If you're listening to this right now, I want to share some of my numbers, like quick numbers that they're not like crazy numbers by any means, but they mean a lot to me. So for the podcast, I have 6,260 all-time plays, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot compared to most podcasts. But for just some random old dude that just likes talking about fitness that doesn't in his free time, I think that's pretty good. That's pretty good for me. I enjoy doing it, and those numbers are only going to go up from here. So we'll be at 10,000 in no time. Shout out to y'all for listening to my podcast. Y'all are the reason I have all those views. And if you go to my YouTube channel, I just started the Fitness Beginner Podcast YouTube channel. We already have 12,500 views on the YouTube channel alone. So we have almost double on the YouTube. But that includes long form videos and short form. So a lot of those views are from short form videos. Just to be transparent with y'all, those are not all podcast full length episode views, but that's still 12,000 eyes that have seen the podcast. So that's pretty cool to me. I enjoy it. Thank y'all so much for tuning in each week. Shout out to all my true listeners. Shout out to everybody that has subscribed to the podcast or enjoys listening. It really means a lot to me, and I see myself continuing to do it. So I like getting on here and talking about fitness because that's literally my passion. That's what I love to do, and I'm not going to stop anytime soon. So I might as well spread some value, some things that I've learned over the 10 years that I've been working out to y'all. So hopefully y'all will take it and y'all will enjoy it and y'all will see the benefits that I see from it. So that's the whole reason I do the podcast, just because it's a passion project for me. I'm not trying to make a living off this podcast by no means. It would be cool if I could do that. And maybe that's somewhere down in the future, but I just do it now for fun. It's a passion project for me and I enjoy doing it. So shout out to y'all. Also, a quick little update on myself. I know I haven't been updating y'all every time, but not really much to update. I played in a disc golf tournament this past weekend. I took home the dub. Let's go. Citronelle lineup. So if y'all know anything about that, I had to move up a division, so I wasn't expecting to win, and I still won somehow. I really don't know how, but I just played safe, and it worked out for me. So shout out to all my disc golfers out there. And then another thing, if you're watching the video, you see I got a little spot on my face. I had a few little skin spots I had to get cut off. If any of y'all have ever seen me, I know I'm pale and I'm freckly. So I have to go to the dermatologist and I got a few little spots cut off of me. So hopefully we get good news back from the doctor that it's not anything serious, but they are testing it for skin cancer. But I don't think we got none of that. I think we good. So other than that, we just working out. I got some big news to tell y'all. So I'm going to wait to the end to tell y'all. So y'all stick around to the end. I got some big news to tell y'all. Well, really it's just big news for me. It really ain't nothing for y'all, but y'all gonna have to play an important role in what I gotta tell y'all. So y'all stick around to the end. So in today's podcast, we going to continue the series, The Ultimate Beginner's Guide to Fitness. So last week we talked about the importance of tracking your progress. This week we're gonna talk about rest and recovery. So again, not a super sexy topic to cover, but it's important and it plays a big role in your fitness journey. So that's what we're gonna get in today. What are the ways of going about rest and recovery? So you want to, it's important for you to incorporate rest days in your fitness routine. I think everybody knows that. That's a given. Hold on one second. Sorry, I'm trying to get my screen situated here so I can get my notes up on the screen. All right. Well, I swear I don't know how to use a dang Mac. I've never used a Mac in my life, and now I'm using one. And it's so much harder to use this than it is a Windows computer. I don't understand it. All right, here we go. So the importance of rest days in your fitness routine. Rest days are crucial components of a well-rounded fitness routine, playing a vital role in promoting overall health, preventing overtraining, and optimizing your performance. So here are several reasons highlighting the importance of incorporating rest days into your fitness routine. Number one, muscle recovery. So you got to repair and you got to give time for growth. Rest days allow your muscles to repair and they grow after the stress of exercise. So this is pretty common to know that you don't actually grow in the gym. You actually tear your muscles down in the gym and then you grow on your rest days. You grow while you're sleeping. And then also protein synthesis. So during your rest, this is when protein synthesis increases, facilitating the rebuilding of muscle tissues. So again, you tear down your muscle tissues in the gym and then you repair them through your protein synthesis on your rest days when you're not in the gym. Number two, injury prevention. So your tissue repair, adequate rest reduces the risk of overuse injuries by giving the body time to repair damaged tissues. So again, you're tearing your body down, you got to let it repair. You tear it down a little bit and then you let it repair. And then you tear it down a little bit and then you let it repair. And then you keep doing that and that's how you get stronger and stronger and you get bigger and bigger. That's just the process. And also joint health. So joints and connective tissues benefit from rest, reducing the likelihood of strains or stress-related injuries. So if you're not taking rest days, you're probably going to end up injured more often than not. So you got to make sure you're letting your body recover, because if not, you're going to tear down your muscles too much and it's going to lead to bad form and eventually going to lead to injury, which ultimately is going to take you out of the gym. Get injured, you're not going to be able to work out, period. So it's going to do more harm than good. So you don't want to overtrain. Number three, performance optimization. So you want to be able to replenish your energy stores. Rest days help replenish glycogen stores, providing the energy needed for optimal performance. So you're going to get the glycogen from the carbs that you eat. Also improved endurance. So well-rested muscles contribute to improved endurance during subsequent workouts. So if your muscles are tired, they're exhausted, they're worn down, they're not well-rested, you're not going to be able to have a really good workout in the gym. You're not going to have optimized workouts because they haven't repaired themselves. They're already broken down. So there's no need to break them down even more. You got to let them recover and then you can break them down again, because it's not going to help you to keep tearing them down every single day. Number four, prevention of overtraining. You want to avoid burnout. Overtraining can lead to burnout, fatigue, and decline in performance. And then your hormone balance. So adequate rest helps hormonal balance, preventing disruptions that can result from excessive training. Again, if you're overtraining, your body's not going to operate like it should be because you're putting too much stress on the body. So to optimize your training, you want to put stress on your body, let it recover, then your body will get stronger, and then you put the stress on it again, a little bit more stress, then it'll recover, it'll get stronger, and then you just repeat the process. Five, mental and emotional well-being. So if you get adequate amount of rest, you reduce your stress. Physical activity is a stressor on the body. Rest days provide a break, reducing overall stress levels, mentally and physically. And then you want to prevent mental fatigue. So avoid mental fatigue and maintain motivation by incorporating rest days into your routine. Some people get addicted and they want to go to the gym every day. Honestly, I could probably work out every day if I really wanted to, but I know it's not good for me, so I don't do it. But not everybody works like me. Some people will get mentally drained from going to the gym every day because it takes up time. They're sore when they leave. They don't want to go back. So it can be mentally and physically fatiguing. That's why it's important to incorporate your rest days. Number six, your sleep quality. It can enhance your sleep. Quality sleep is essential for recovery. Rest days contribute to improved sleep patterns. Trust me, if you're working out hard, you're going to sleep good. You're going to want to sleep good because your body's going to be tired. Your body's going to be worn out and you get better sleep because it allows your body to recover when you're sleeping. And then your circadian rhythm. Rest days support the body's natural circadian rhythms, promoting overall well-being. Number seven, immune system support. Strengthen immunity. Overtraining can compromise the immune system. Rest days help support the immune function. So if you overtrain your body, you overwork your body will literally get sick sometimes. This happened to me. Your body will shut down, basically, if you overtrain it. You will get sick. So you got to get that rest to prevent this. Also, it can reduce inflammation. Adequate rest contributes to a reduction in inflammation, supporting immune health. So again, that's when your body recovers while you're asleep or while you're resting. So this is going to help reduce the inflammation, the soreness, the swelling that comes from tearing down your muscles and working out. Number eight, long-term sustainability. So avoiding burnout and lifestyle integration. Consistently intense training without adequate rest can lead to burnout and a decreased likelihood of sustaining a long-term fitness routine. So if you're constantly tearing down your muscles, being sore every single day, eventually that's going to get old, you're going to get tired of it, you're not going to do it no more, and it's not going to be sustainable. So rest days contribute to a balanced and sustainable approach to fitness, integrating it into your lifestyle. Because let's be honest, you're not going to be able to work out every day anyways. So you got to work around your lifestyle as well and your work schedule. So it's just not sustainable to work out every single day, to push your body every single day. You got to let it rest and recover. Number nine, you want to prevent plateaus and enhance progress. So adaptation, rest days allow the body to adapt to previous training, leading to more significant progress over time. And avoiding plateaus, regular rest helps prevent performance plateaus by allowing the body to recover and adapt to new stimuli. So your body's never going to overcome those obstacles. It's never going to get stronger. If your goal is to bench 225, but you're doing bench press every single day, your muscles are never recovering. So you're probably never going to get to that. You got to let your body rest. And honestly, if you take a week off every now and then, you'll realize that you come back even stronger after that time because your body has had adequate time to rest. So it's good to take a little deload week every now and then. All right. Number 10, balancing physical and mental stress. So it's good. Rest helps you manage your stress load. Rest days can play a role in managing the overall stress load on the body, balancing physical and mental stress. And then your overall just holistic well-being, supporting both physical and mental health, contributes to overall holistic well-being. So again, you will get burnt out. So if you take rest days, it's good for your mental health, your mental stress. Number 11, individual recovery needs. So listen to your body. Individual recovery needs vary. Rest days allow you to listen to your body and tailor your routine accordingly. So you want to go ahead and build in rest days to your training routine. But if your body is telling you you're too sore or you're too tired, maybe you should listen to your body. Maybe you shouldn't go to the gym that day, or maybe you should take it easier that day or have like deload week or something. If you're extremely sore, maybe you should tone your workouts back just a little bit and then adapt it to your lifestyle. Rest days provide flexibility, allowing you to adapt your fitness routine to changes in your lifestyle. So if you're busy on the weekends, maybe you shouldn't schedule your workouts for the weekends. Or if you know you have something coming up on a certain day, schedule your workouts around that day so you can adapt it to your lifestyle. Number 12, enjoyment and sustainability. So if you're resting, you're recovering, this is going to enhance your enjoyment. Regular rest days contribute to enhanced enjoyment of physical activity by preventing fatigue and monotony, because it can get old in there. You can get tired and bored of doing the same thing. So you want to keep it enjoyable, keep it fun and exciting. If not, you'll just get bored of it and you'll quit going eventually. And you want to create those sustainable habits. So prioritizing rest contributes to the sustainability of long-term fitness habits. And 13, active recovery benefits. So light activity on your rest days may include active recovery like gentle walks, yoga, stretching. This promotes blood circulation without placing excessive strain on the muscles. So this means instead of just taking the whole entire day off and doing nothing, it's good to get outside, go for a walk, do some stretching, do some foam rolling, or if you have the massage guns, use the little massage gun. It's good for recovery. It's going to promote blood circulation in those areas, which will ultimately help you recover faster. So when somebody says an off day, they don't technically mean take it completely off. Most of the time, you should incorporate some kind of active recovery on your off day. Not necessarily a workout, but something that's light duty, light activity, and it could be good to promote recovery. So in summary, rest days, they're not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of weakness at all. It's a good thing to take a rest day. But it's a strategic and essential component of a comprehensive fitness routine. So everybody takes rest days, even professionals, even enhanced people, they take rest days. Rest days can contribute to muscle recovery, injury prevention, mental well-being, and long-term sustainability. So listening to your body and incorporating rest days into your routine will enhance your overall fitness journey and support your health and performance goals. So now we're going to talk about incorporating proper recovery techniques, such as stretching or adequate sleep. Number one, you have dynamic and you have static stretching. So dynamic stretching incorporate dynamic stretches as part of your warm-up to improve flexibility and range of motion. So what is dynamic stretching? Dynamic stretching is like anything you would do in your warm-ups, moving your body, getting your blood circulation up. So think of walking on the treadmill, any sporting event. Think of a warm-up that you would do to play a football game or a baseball game. That would be a dynamic stretching routine. So it's not static stretching. So static stretching is when you perform static stretches. Normally you would do it post-workout to aid in muscle recovery and reduce muscle tightness. So think of being still and stretching your body. So like putting your feet together, bending over, touching toes. That's a static stretch. An example of a dynamic stretch would be like doing high knees or butt kicks or like side lunges or something. That would be dynamic. So think of you're more moving during a dynamic stretch and you're being still during a static stretch. So that's the difference. Number two, foam rolling and self-myofascial release. If you don't know what a foam roll is, it's like it's literally a piece of foam. It's in cylinder shape and you use it to massage your muscles. And it releases those knots that you get in your muscles sometimes and it alleviates muscle soreness. So it can be good to help recover. So self-myofascial release, incorporate tools like the massage balls or rollers to target specific muscle groups. Now you see the muscle massage guns a lot. That's very popular now. I actually have one myself and I like it a lot. They work pretty good. So they're good for pre-workout, post-workout, rest days. You can use those all the time. They're good for muscle recovery. Number three, hydration. You want to make sure you're staying hydrated even on your off days. This will support your overall body functions, including your nutrient transport and your muscle recovery. Also, not only with drinking water, drink some electrolytes, replenish those electrolytes that was lost during your intense workouts, especially in warm environments. So if you're sweating a lot, you really, really, really got to get your electrolytes in, get some salt in your body. This is going to be good to keep your body hydrated. Most people, when they think of hydration, they just think of water. Well, water is very important, but you also need the electrolytes too. Don't forget about those. Number four, nutrient-rich post-workout nutrition. So get a meal in after your workout. Eat some food. Protein and carbohydrates, most importantly, consume a balanced post-workout meal or snack containing protein and carbs to support muscle repair and replenish those glycogen stores that you just burned off. So timing, you want to aim to eat within the first hour after your exercise for optimal recovery, but if you can't get it in within an hour, that's okay. Just get it in as soon as you can. Number five, make sure you're getting adequate sleep. You want to aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep per night to support physical and mental recovery. I think everybody knows that. No point in harping on that one. And you also want to make sure you're having a consistent sleep schedule. So maintain a regular schedule to regulate your circadian rhythm. Go to bed and wake up at the same time every day. It's pretty simple. Even on the weekends. Don't sleep in on the weekend. Sorry. If you need some extra sleep on the weekends, I guess it's okay to sleep in. But if you want to maintain that circadian rhythm, it's good to just go ahead and set your alarms every day of the week. Number six, active recovery. Like I mentioned earlier, do light exercise on your off days. Incorporate some low intensity activities like walking, swimming, or cycling. It's going to be good to promote recovery. And it's also good to promote blood circulation. So gentle movement enhances blood circulation, aiding in nutrient delivery to the muscles. So again, stretching, foam rolling, massage gun, things like that is going to promote that blood circulation. Number seven, cold and hot therapy. So cold showers or ice baths. This is going to reduce inflammation and muscle soreness with cold therapy. I actually like to do the ice baths. I did it a lot for my Ironman training. So those are good. I wish I had a sauna. I don't have one, but I wish I had the access to one. They can promote relaxation and improve blood flow to aid in recovery. So if you're into all the, I like to call it hippie stuff, the cold water therapy or sauna stuff, that can be good in your recovery as well. Number eight, compression garments. So these are like compression sleeves. These can reduce muscle soreness and improve blood circulation. Again, I think these are in your head. If you believe they work, they work. If you don't believe they work, they don't work. But a lot of people believe in them. So if you want to try them out. I don't really use compression stuff myself, but there's a lot of studies behind them that say they do work. So post-workout, you can use compression gear during that post-workout period to help with swelling and things like that. Number nine, you can get a professional massage. So a deep tissue massage. These are good to release muscle tension and improve flexibility. If you've never gotten a massage, be careful when you get one. They do hurt. Trust me, you will be sore. I got one on my honeymoon, and I was literally sore as all get out the next day. So if you haven't ever had one, just be cautious when you do go. They may hurt. They do hurt, and you probably will be sore the next day. Or you can get a sports massage. So a sports massage targets specific muscle groups related to your fitness routine. So if you're tight in a certain area, sore in a certain area, they'll target that one area. Number 10, mindfulness and relaxation techniques. So yoga or meditation, practice mindfulness to reduce stress and promote mental recovery. Also deep breathing, engage in deep breathing exercises to calm the nervous system. So honestly, you should be practicing these every day, not just on your rest days. Number 11, this is a given, incorporate rest days. This is the best way for you to recover. So schedule rest days into your regular workout routine program to help your body fully recover and prevent overtraining. And then also on those rest days, make those active rest days. So engage in low intensity activities or hobbies that promote relaxation. So for example, I mentioned it earlier, I like to play disc golf. So on my active rest days, when I need to go for a walk, I'll just go play around the disc golf. So that's an easy way to I can get in extra steps and I can do something fun at the same time. So it's not even like I'm exercising, I'm doing something fun and I get the benefit out of it at the same time. Number 12, periodic deload weeks. So what is a deload week? It's a week where you still work out and you still train, but you reduce your training a lot. So not how much, not the volume, but the weights that you use. So say, for example, if you normally train with 100 pounds that week, you may want to tone it back 60 pounds, just for an easy example. This just gives your body time to fully recover, but you don't want to take the whole week off and do nothing. So you want to structure these into your workout every so often. It kind of depends on where you're at in your training. Maybe every couple months or so. It really is going to depend on the individual. Yeah, just reduce your training intensity and volume. These can be good to prevent overtraining, give your body some time to recover, prevent burnout. It's just like an extra additional recovery time. And you'll actually realize that after these little deload weeks, you'll actually come back even stronger the next week. It's kind of weird. You would think taking a week off, you would get weaker. But sometimes you'll see that when you give your body a little bit extra time to recover, you actually will see more benefits than you thought. So if you don't do deload weeks, I highly encourage you try to throw one in there, try it out 1 week, and you'll be surprised at the results you see. Number 13, hormonal balance. So cortisol regulation, manage stress levels to regulate cortisol, a hormone associated with stress that can impact recovery. And then optimize your testosterone. So adequate sleep and recovery support optimal testosterone levels for muscle repair. Everybody knows testosterone for males is going to be the most important hormone to really focus on. And if you're not getting sleep, your testosterone is going to be pretty low and it's going to be hard for you to recover from your workouts. Number 14, again, listen to your body. Rest when needed. If you're super sore, if you're super tired, pay attention to these signs of fatigue, soreness. Allow your body extra rest when needed. So if you have a workout scheduled for that day, but you can't even bend over to tie your shoes because your legs are so sore, well, probably a good idea you don't go work out that day or work a different muscle group. If your legs are super sore, maybe you should work upper body that day instead. Give your body an extra day or two to recover. Or you can modify your intensity. So adjust your workout intensity based on your energy levels and your recovery status. So if you don't want to take the whole day off, you still want to go, well, maybe you can go and do a light workout, do something. That way you're not just doing nothing at all. Number 15, make sure you're getting regular health checkups. So make sure you're going to see your healthcare professional. Getting your blood work done, things like this. Let them do a physical on you just to make sure that you're not having any underlying health issues, anything that you need to avoid. You don't want to affect your recovery at all. You just want to make sure they know what you're doing, so because they're the ones that they're a professional. They know what's going on, so they can tell you a little bit more about what you should and shouldn't do. Number 16 is hydrotherapy. So this is when you alternate between hot and cold water immersion to improve circulation and reduce muscle soreness. So this is pretty popular nowadays. People do the hot cold therapy, get in the ice bath, in the sauna, back and forth. I haven't actually experimented with this myself, but a lot of people like to use this technique for recovery. So maybe something that you want to try out. Number 17, educate yourself. So just stay informed, continuously educate yourself on the latest recovery techniques and incorporate evidence-based practices into your routine. So I can just mention the hydrotherapy. I haven't experimented with myself, but it is something I do want to experiment with, but I don't have access to a sauna, so it's kind of hard for me to do, but that's something I do look forward to doing in the future. Try it out to continue just trying different things and seeing what works for me, see what, how my body recovers the best. That way I can keep doing that. And then number 18, adjust based on your individual needs. So it's going to vary a lot depending on the person. So recognize the recovery needs for your individual body, for yourself, and adjust those techniques based on how your body responds to it. So if you, if for example, you try to do ice baths, but you absolutely hate them, or your body doesn't respond very well to them, maybe that's something you shouldn't do. Don't try them. Do something else. Maybe you should try the sauna or something. I don't know. Just try different ways out. See what you like. See what works best for you, and stick to doing that. So you want to incorporate a combination of these recovery techniques. You're probably not going to be able to do all of them, let's be honest. But you want to try a few of them out. Add them into your regular routine, and this will help optimize your performance. It will help reduce risk of injury, and it'll just overall enhance your well-being. So customize these techniques based on your specific needs and your preferences, and that's key to creating a sustainable and effective recovery plan. So that's basically rest and recovery in a nutshell. I know it's nothing sexy to talk about, but it's important, and everybody needs to do it. Beginner, intermediate, advanced, professional, whoever. Everybody needs rest days. Right now, I'm taking a rest day every third day. So I'm working out 2 days, and then the third day is an off day. And then I work out 2 days, and the third day is an off day. So I'm on two, off one, on two, off one. That's what I'm doing right now, and that works well for me. And I'm also staggering my workouts. So I'll do upper body, then lower body. So that way I let my body recover all the way before I train that muscle group again. So it also depends on how you're stacking your workouts. You want to make sure you're doing that properly as well. This is why it's important to follow a structured routine and don't just wing it and go in the gym and do whatever you want to, because it's probably not optimized if you're not following a structured routine. So that's it for the rest and recovery of the podcast. So I guess we can get to the big news that I mentioned earlier. So last year, if you listen to the podcast, y'all know I did an Ironman, and that was a big deal for me. It took a very long time to train for, several 10 months, basically, I trained for it. And it kind of inspired me. It sparked this thing inside of me that I made a goal that every year I want to do one big event, one big challenge for myself. And so it's like a bucket list thing. I have one, every year I want to do not one thing off my bucket list. Well, last year was Ironman. Well, I don't want to do another Ironman again because I've already done one. I probably will do one in the future, but I have a list of things I want to do. So the next thing I wanted to do was a bodybuilding show. So guess what? Your boy is doing a bodybuilding show. So that's the big news. I've already hired a coach. I've been working with him for about 2 weeks now. So right now I'm in my bulking phase. So I'm still trying to put on some weight before we really cut down. I'm about 21 weeks out. I'm doing a show August 24th. It's the Alabama State Championships is what it's called. It's in Gadsden, Alabama, August 24th. So yeah, forward to it. I've never done anything like it. I've done any posing, like legit posing, never really, really dieted down to get like super lean. So it's going to be a learning curve. I want to be a student of the game. So I want to learn the whole process of dieting down, all that, like the process of doing a show. That's kind of why I want to learn how to do all that so that I can be a student of the game, but I can also help y'all. I can also teach y'all more about the process, and because I know more. So I'm still being a student, even 10 years into the game, I'm still learning. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be new. It's going to be hard. I know a lot of people that have done it. I know they say that the prep is super, super hard. I'm going to be super hungry, probably a little hangry in there, but hey, I'm looking forward to it. And it was a super hard challenge. So if I could do that in less than a year, I think I could train for a bodybuilding show. I know it's going to be completely different types of stress. But yeah, forward to it. It'd be new. I've never really been like that thought of doing a bodybuilding show has never really like caught my interest. Just I don't like the fact you have to get a spray tan and you got no clothes on the stage. That's never really got my attention, but it's like a bucket list thing. So I might as well do it while I'm young. And I'm in good shape right now, so we're going to do it. We're going to knock it out. We're going to try it. We're going to see if I like it. If I like it, hey, I may do another one. But if not, oh, well, at least I did one. So The reason I want to tell y'all that, though, is I want y'all to hold me accountable. Y'all got to make sure I'm sticking to my workouts and especially sticking to my diet. I'm not worried about my workouts at all. I don't miss my workouts. I never have. That's not something that's hard for me to do. Like, working out is easy for me because I have it dialed in my routine. It's natural for me to go to the gym. But I am going to struggle very, very hard when it comes to doing my diet, for sure. Like, no, that's going to be super hard for me. So I'm telling y'all publicly so that y'all can hold me accountable so that I can be in the best shape possible when it comes to show day. So yeah, listen, I expect y'all to hold me accountable. Y'all see me eating some dessert, y'all better come smack it out of my hand. But yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, y'all tune in next week on the next episode of the Fitness Beginner Podcast, where we're going to talk about, what's the next one? Seeking support. So connecting with the fitness community or partner, or seeking guidance from a fitness professional if needed. So yeah, until then, y'all have a great week. Peace, love, protein.